Now let's see, the road transport has many attractions. What are the benefits? Like we studied for the railways, let's see what the road trip offers to a traveler. Suppose if I am opting for a bus journey, it's large and comfortable. We know there are different types of buses. There are various buses which give you extra services like reclining reclining seats. There are certain which give you a full sleeper. There are many buses which might give you meal on board. There are buses which might be a direct A to B journey, so they are fast. And there are many buses which might give you online ticket sales. So all of this will add to the comfort of the travelers. And be in large and comfortable buses, as the seating that again is required. There might be, however, in certain countries, the buses are charging the baggage, that is the baggage of the client. So suppose if I am traveling from that particular bus, one bag might be allowed for free, but the second bag might be charged. Ability to carry baggage and equipment. So if there is a special equipment, charges might be involved. Although this is applicable for some countries, certain countries might carry your baggage for free. So that is ability to carry baggage and equipment with respect to buses. Again, if I am talking about a bigger van, say I am talking about a family vacation, I am hiring a van, I can have a big space wherein I can store my baggage or luggage and take it. So that will be one. Vehicles can be used for accommodation. We are talking especially when we are talking about camping vans, RVs. So these itself forms my accommodation. So this is a still a smaller car. There are bigger cars which allow an entire shutter screen to come up. It is refoldable manually, or and there are many other adjustments which one can do. One can easily park this particular vehicle at various camping grounds which might be allowing such stays. And these are the camping grounds which also has a restroom and other facilities available for the travelers who are camping in these RVs. Privacy and excellent high-speed roadways. Of course, if I'm going to rent a car for my own use, it's a private business. So again, here the privacy, if at all, is my priority, I might opt for it. If I'm traveling through a railway, it is a social give and take. So what happens is a person who loves to have conversations with fellow travelers might opt for a railway. But if a person who requires privacy wants to, go at his own pace, stop at his own pace, or try making his own routes and other things. All right, car would be an ideal option. Excellent high-speed roadways. So roadways will be better connected in many of the developed countries. There are excellent roadways starting from six ways. What I mean is there are six pathways at a particular roadway. So here, as you can see, the tracks which are there, it's a huge road and there are many vehicles that can travel. So these are certain benefits for road transport. Now let us move on to waterways. Waterways are again a part and parcel of international travel. Why? Because there are many, many tourist attractions, many, many tourist cities who are very popular tourist destinations are at the beachfront or near certain lakes or certain rivers. And this adds up because the travelers would want to experience a waterway, might take want to take a boat ride or a luxury cruise or a river cruise across that particular destination just for fun or as a means to reach that particular destination. So water tourism is traveling by boat while on holiday with the express purpose of enjoying beauty of nature around waterways. So that is year one. The waterways might be taken because of the sheer beauty that it gives to the travelers experience. This can be traveling from one luxury port to another luxury port in a cruise ship. Now we have already done the cruise ships. What are the ambiences which comes up? It is a great traveling experience to actually be a part of a cruise journey. So this cruise journey will help the travelers to move from one luxury city to the another very good city. And here all the traveler needs to do is, he doesn't need to pack or unpack. All he needs to do is get down at the port, go for a city tour and come back. So that's a cruise journey that we are talking about. It also means joining events such as regattas or recreation at specially prepared boat landing places. Now there are other things like boat races, which are events. Then there, these are the regattas or any event which requires a boat in it. There can be many other things like cruise dinners, which are marketed so well today, might have the use of boat. This might again form under the definition of waterways tourism or water tourism here. Also known as a boating holiday, generally more popular in summertime. Why in summertime? Clearly a very good weather to be outdoors. So here a boating holiday will be something that a person might opt for the sheer experience of it. So we are talking about cruises, small boats, dinner cruises, one day trips, three nights trips, anything. Shipping has made a significant contribution to travel during the 19th century. So if we move back, when did this shipping come from? This was earlier used as a travel mode, transcontinental travel mode. Later it was actually used for recreation or leisure purposes. Earlier it was the only mode, so that's how it was used. The shipping technology has made a number of innovations in the 19th century. As the technology has moved forward, there are many services which are involved along with a cruise ship. It from luxury ships are becoming more and more bigger, as we already know. There are gyms and swimming pools, golf courses, there are entire tropical jungles which are actually created on a cruise ship. So all this is development which we have seen through the decades. Venice, who can forget Venice, which is famous for its waterways, a gondola ride here, popular water tourism destination. So clearly it is always in the plan. So if someone goes to Venice and does not take a gondola ride, is no traveler. Next is the cruise tourism, again a part of the water tourism. Here we can say or concentrate on cruise ships. So when we are talking about cruise ships, which are forming a part of cruise tourism, cruise shipping is one of the most dynamic and fastest growing components of the leisure industry worldwide. Now if we know at the present times, there are cruising industries, there are various packages which are there. There are various areas which are famous for cruising, like the Mediterranean. Then there are Hawaiian islands, and there are Pacific, Southwest Pacific region. All of this are under the cruising industry. India, when we talk about or compare India with all these cruising areas, what we know is India has a very good coastline. And if we compare the present waterway industry of India with the rest of the world, we know that it is still less developed or less explored. We have a huge potential for developing it. So it has a vast, beautiful coastline, virgin forested, undistributed, idyllic islands. So we know we have our islands like Andaman, Nicobar and Lakshadweep. Further ahead, we can start our cruises starting from say Maharashtra and then to Goa, which we already had one of the cruises which provided a package cruise to Goa and coming back to Mumbai. Likewise, we can start developing throughout our coastline, and definitely this is going to attract the international tourist. With the Indian economy developing at a steady pace, middle class growing in number and increasingly possessing disposable incomes which could be spent on leisure activities, Indians could also take on a cruise shipping in a big way. So we all know that how India is scoring on a tourism front. Clearly, we can look forward for a very good shipping or cruising experience when we are talking about the Indian way here. So there are various plans which are still in the pipeline when we are talking about cruising or waterway industry in India. Now this is something which we might know. tourist houseboat in Kerala. Now, Kerala is known for its beautiful houseboats. There are very many romantic escapades in this houseboats. These houseboats are also graded. There are houseboats with various services. Now, this is a typical houseboat which is there. It goes through the backwater lagoons in Kerala that we have. It cruises on a very smooth, steady speed. There are one night stays which people opt for to get the feel of such houseboat stay here. Now let us see operators or the actual operations of a cruise industry. Now when we are talking about cruise ships, these are known as cruise liners or cruise line companies. Now they have a dual character to play. What are they playing? They are playing for transportation business, that is, they are the ones who are providing the movement of travelers from A to B. So basically they are the transport modes or the transport service providers, and then there are partly leisure. So ideally a person might approach a cruise line or might take a cruise not because he wants to go from A to B, but he wants to go from A to B in style. So that is expression, or that is the kind of experience that he wants to take. So partly it's leisure and entertainment business. So this particular experience should be pampering for the traveler. So it should add up to the entire traveler's experience here. And then again, there are many recreational facilities which are involved in a cruise itinerary which is there. So these ships have both the crews. So clearly there are transport modes that this particular cruise lines are giving, and then there are leisure and recreations that this particular companies are giving. So obviously they require a staff to cater both. So here both the crew headed by the ship's captain, which will look after the movement of the transportation, there is movement of the ship, and then a hospitality staff headed by the hotel management. Now when I'm talking about the hospitality staff here, we are talking about the people who are involved in making sure that everyone who is on the ship, everyone who is on the boat is comfortable. So we are talking about the housekeeping services, we are talking about the food and beverage services, we are talking about providing clean bed sheets or other kinds of things in the cabin. Then there are various other services which are involved, right? The entertainment services, recreation services, there are spas and gyms, etc. So all this will be headed under the hospitality staff. So clearly this comes under operations or the entire management of a ship. So currently, five largest cruise line operators, this is based on the figures and facts which are available right now in the world, are Carnival Corporation, Royal Caribbean Cruises Limited, Star Cruises, MSC Cruises, and Louis Cruise Lines. So these are the biggest player of the world right now. Earlier there were many companies, but due to the rising cost, due to the rising operational cost, due to the heavy competition faced, most of the smaller companies, cruise line companies, have started merging and becoming alliances to the bigger players. So there was a lot of overtaking, there were lots of alliances which were formed, and making sure that all of them are making a profitable business. So today is right now, the present time is that of mega ships. These mega ships are cruise lines carrying huge number of people across a particular cruise. So this can go from hundreds to thousands. So here we are talking about not only the travelers but also the crew member which will be included. This is an interior of a very famous cruise liner. From inside you can see it is all world class. So the opulence, the kind of ambience that is there is oozing out richness or royalness to it. So that's a cruise ship interior that you can see. Now let us go on to what we have is the hotel business. So that was about the cruise industry and its operations, the waterways that we were talking about. This is about the hotels. Now clearly it is part and parcel of tourism industry, and so we need to know what are the operations of handling a hotel business that goes around. So management of a particular hotel will depend upon what category of that hotel is, what kind of services the hotel is giving, and what type of guest or the type of clients that they are catering to. So here again, if we have in front of us various departments of a particular hotel. So we have food and beverage department, which caters to the needs of the guest, the food needs of the guest. So that's food and beverage. The people who are involved in the food and beverage department will be the ones who are taking care of the catering services of the guest. Next is the kitchen. This is the kitchen staff which is involved in the kitchen, wherein production, the food production will be the one. This is where the baking, the cooking, everything is done, and there are staff which are involved in serving the food to the guest. Next is what we have is stewarding. These are the people who are involved in the department wherein cleaning of the cutleries would be there, making sure that new and washed cutleries are available. So again, one of the important department for any hotel. The next one is the front office, the first and the last contact of a client. So when a person is going to be reserving a particular room in a hotel or coming in contact with the hotel, it is the front office that he is going to come to. And again, while leaving, this is the point wherein he is going to come and contact, pay the bill and go. So front office is at the front, that is, it is it is a point of contact or interaction with the guest. So very essential here, the main aim of front office is reservations, registering and assigning the rooms to the guest and taking care that any other request is fulfilled. Next, what we have is the concierge services at a hotel. These are the services which are trying to fulfill anything else that the guest might need, say valet parking or other information on the in-house services that are provided, services that are provided out of the hotel. And that is outside the hotel, say the timings of a particular park or the timings of a museum, etc. So concierge service can provide all that. Next is the housekeeping department, very very important. Why? Because it is needed to keep upkeep of the hotel. It is supposedly the backbone of the hotel. It is this department which makes sure that the hotel is in a very good condition, and the kind of response that the guest give to the hotel depends upon the housekeeping department. So they are involved in not only maintaining cleanliness but also the kind of ambience that the hotel has marketed itself into. So that's housekeeping department. Maintenance and engineering. So there might be smaller problems which require a maintenance, like fixing of furniture, fixing of certain other things in the guest rooms or in the public areas of the hotel. Engineers will be required to for a bigger problems which might be existing in a hotel. They might be required for the software that a particular hotel is using. So these are the departments which have been classified as per the kind of work that they are doing. These are the photographs which are pictorially representing the departments. Food and beverage management services includes all the restaurants, the different kinds of restaurants, starting from the full service, then the cafes, disco, techs, which also have small snack bars which are there. Then again, the bars and the lounge areas of the hotel. All this will be under food and beverage management. We have the kitchens here. There can be 24 hours available kitchen services. So these are the chefs, different kinds of chefs preparing different kinds of food. Stewards in the hotel. The front office area. The concierge services of a hotel. The housekeeping, very important. Hotel maintenance. On a slightly lower level, that's the maintenance which is required. Now, let us see, when we talk about conducting a hotel business, what happens. These are listed certain normal functions of the hotel. If we talk about a hotel as a business enterprise point of view. So here we have financial control. Like any other business in the world, hotel also needs to have a financial control over it. It needs to control its expenses. It needs to control its overhead charges, its sales, marketing expenses, and at the same time make sure that there are certain things which are plan in hand. For example, if I am on a budget, then a particular thing will be done. That is, the finances will be controlled to make sure that the sale target is reached, to make sure that whatever profit I am aiming for is achieved. So all this financial control will be a part and parcel of a hotel business. So suppose if we are talking about credit control here, that is how much credit will be given to a particular company which is in agreement with the hotel for the booking of the rooms. So how much agency commission should be given, all this will come under financial control. Sales and marketing, different kinds of marketing strategies, different kinds of discounts, all this has to be decided beforehand for a particular hotel. So suppose if I am talking about a Christmas bonanza which is coming in the month of December, the hotel needs to start its marketing strategies well before December. So here again, they need to make sure that they are studying the market, they are studying their own competitors and creating certain discount packages which will be attracting more and more guests. So that comes under sales and marketing functions. Human resource, like we know, tourism is a service industry. Hotel itself also stands on service. So clearly the staff which is there has to be efficient, they have to be good in what they do, and further ahead they have to provide the warmth that is expected by a hotel staff. So here comes the HR department, the human resource department, which undertakes lots of training sessions, which will be responsible for making sure that they are selecting the right candidate for that particular hotel and training them adequately to make sure that the hotel is running smoothly. So these can be the normal functions when we are talking about conducting a hotel business. Now, that was about the hotel. We come to the other participant of tourism, that's international tour companies. So let's check what we have here. International tourism is highly organized through the mushrooming of number of tourism companies in almost every country. Now we know this, as tourism has flourished, there are many, many tourism companies that are there worldwide, all right? But what happened in the starting of tourism industry? This is the present scenario. The development of organized traveling began around 1840 with Thomas Cook, who is considered to be the pioneer of tourism agencies or tour agencies. The founder owner of Thomas Cook Group, which is even today one of the leading names in international tourism business. Now when if you know the history of Thomas Cook, it was started as Thomas Cook was someone who started organizing one group from one place to another. Later he had an idea of starting such services. He started giving such services. He entered into a deal with the railway company and made sure that there were discounted fares which were available for the big group which was traveling. At this success, once this was succeeded, he came up with an idea of providing similar services. If you even today search for images of tour pamphlets by Thomas Cook, early tour pamphlets by Thomas Cook, or the first tour pamphlets of the world, it will be this pamphlets that you will be seeing in your search engines. So clearly a person with idea which started the entire travel agency ideas. Today it is a multi-billion dollar business catering to millions of tourists every day, spanning more than 100 countries. So when we are talking about a travel company, we are talking about a range of travel companies, domestic travel company with hardly a staff of four, to another national company with offices across the country, and then there are international multinational companies like Thomas Cook, which has offices in almost all of the countries in the world. So That's an international tour company that we are talking about. Now, when we talk about a tour company, what is so specific about this and what differentiates it with respect to other businesses? Now, first of all, there is no stock in hand. What do we mean by stock? We mean the thing that we are going to sell. So, if I concentrate on a tour agent, what is he selling? He is selling a travel service. He might be selling a ticket from, say, Mumbai to London. That is his stock. He cannot, he cannot buy the ticket and keep. Whereas if I am talking about a person who is a retail agent who is, say, buying and selling goods like rice or fruits, he can buy the stock and keep. Okay, there are certain other things that like TV or fridge which he can buy the stock and keep and then sell it off. That is not with respect to travel agencies. There is no stock. As and when the inquiry comes, he has to create the stock at that time. So if an inquiry comes up which says that a ticket is needed from Mumbai to London, it is at that time when Mumbai to London ticket will be issued or bought and sold immediately. So agency's profit is where? It is in the commission that is granted. What is the commission? It is the difference between his purchasing price and the selling price. So suppose if I am talking about air tickets, okay, the travel agent might have a commission based on the agreement between the airline and the travel agent, all right, and that will be his commission or his profit. Then again, the hotel rooms might be there. So suppose if a hotel is selling a room in 5,000 per night basis, the travel agent has sold the same room by taking it from the hotel and selling it to the travel agent. The hotel might have offered him a commission based on the percentage of the basic fare of that particular room. So that is where the travel agent is making his profit. In certain countries, the agencies selling the tickets need licenses. Now, there are many other rules which are involved here. Many countries have different rules. So, these particular travel agents should be recognized. They have to have certain, adhere to certain qualities. They need to have certain licenses which are issued either by topmost travel body, travel institute or organization in that particular country or by the government. So, in certain countries, they need the licenses. Apart from selling travel services, other commercial operations are undertaken, including the sale of in-house insurance, travel guidebooks and timetables. Now, this is done by today's travel agents. They are more or generalist rather than the specialist. Earlier there might be selling only air travel tickets, but today they sell everything else. For example, the in-house insurance. So suppose if I as a traveler is going to a travel agent, he is booking a ticket for me, he might also ask me whether I need a traveler's insurance or not, and I might say yes and buy it from him. On this particular insurance service that he has provided, he is again getting a commission. So that is an added profit for him. Further, there is travel guidebooks and timetables that he might also give. So that will be an extra service which he is providing. Here he might also tell you that I can provide you a guide on your tour. So again, guide services might be included. This happens especially when we are talking about group tours. Next happens is the car rentals. Clearly, a travel agent also gives vehicle rentals, car rentals, depending upon which place you want to go through, to what are the activities that might be involved. Maybe there is a car rental which is involved from point A to point B and it just requires a pick up and drop. The other might be packages wherein you are talking about sightseeing of that place. So that will be involved in car rentals and he will start charging you depending upon what kind of package and what kind of services are there. And the services of an on-site bureau de change. So this we are talking about foreign exchange. All right. So there are many agents which might have the service, which might have the authority to give a foreign exchange. Most of the countries have strict laws for that. They have authorized agents who are money exchangers. So care has to be taken here. Not all the travel agents have the authority to give foreign exchange. Dealing in the most popular holiday currency. So that's the point wherein we are talking about foreign exchange. So these are certain operations which come. Every single service that the travel agent provides has a profit margin added to it. So it can be either on the basis of commission which is given by those from where he is buying, or he is charging an extra service charge on the services which he is selling to the travelers. Now that's a pictorial thing for your Thomas Cook. So a 19th century rail tour by Thomas Cook. Now let's see, like we said earlier, the agency income. What are the different sources where the agency has its own income? What are the revenues and the profits that it is making? So main source, the commission paid for bookings of various travel services. Agencies also receive a variety of bonuses, benefits and other incentives. This is the added cherry on the pie. So when we are talking about percentage or TACs, that's travel agent commissions, okay, hotel is paying the commissions, cruise liners are paying the commission, there are airlines which might be paying the commissions. Further ahead, there are other benefits. For example, a particular travel agency who might be say giving this particular things, all right, say a travel company is providing a service, they might charge a service charge. Then again, there are benefits here wherein if a travel agent and a hotel has an agreement, and the travel agent has sold maximum number of rooms in that particular hotel, the hotel might give certain benefits. This can be monetary benefits or other benefits, like providing extra commission on their next dealing, or providing incentive trips for the travel agent over there. Now, when we are talking about this commissions, it has been observed that many airlines have stopped giving commissions to the agents. The reason behind this is increasing use of internet by the travelers. So we have today's traveler who can go easily on the internet, can approach a website of an airline and can book his own ticket. All right, so what happens is the airlines today do not require the travel agents as being their distributing network. So clearly they have stopped or ceased giving commissions to them. So in some countries airlines have completely stopped. Certain countries are there wherein they give, but on a very small basis. So agents are such as forcing the agents to charge a premium fee on the travel services offered by them. So here again, there comes a picture wherein the travel agents have to actually charge an extra fee for a particular airline ticket. So suppose if the ticket is of 5,000 plus taxes per ticket, service charge in percentage or a full amount basis might be charged by the travel agent. Some companies still give the agent a set percentage for selling their product. It benefits both parties as it is cheaper to offer commissions rather than spending it on sales and marketing. So there are many companies which still think that commissions is a better option rather than going ahead for sales and marketing. So they can have a very good relation with the travel agents and try not to spend on sales marketing to attract more individual travelers.